You know, I was reminded as we were singing that song that the gift of Jesus is the gift of connection to God the Father and all the resources of heaven. That's why the scripture says when we pray in Jesus' name. Come on, say it with me. In Jesus' name is how we end our prayers. Why? Because it's in His name that we access all those resources. You know, I want to take it just a step further. If you're comfortable with this or if you're not comfortable with it, I just want you to put your hands out like this. Could we do that before we leave this moment? A lot of us came in here carrying things. There's sickness, there's family problems, there's issues with kids, career, decisions, relational issues, whatever that is. I just want you to see you offering that, opening up your hands and offering that to the Lord just right now. We're going to have just about 60 seconds. Jesus said, "My Father's house will be a house of prayer for all people." And I just want us to pray just right now, just with your arms up like this. One of the most simple prayers you can pray and powerful is, "Help me, Lord." And name that thing, whatever you're needing help with. Lord, help me. Come on, let's just begin to pray just right now, just across the sanctuary. Lord, help me. You're my healer. I receive healing, Lord, from you. Lord, you're my strength, Lord. Lord, I thank you that hope is being restored. Lord, I thank you, God, that courage is being renewed, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that in your presence, Lord, there's fullness of joy. Lord, I thank you that joy is being renewed. Lord, you said if we cast our cares upon you, Lord, you would care for us, Lord, and help us carry these burdens, Lord. So we lay them, Lord, before you, and we receive your help, your tangible help. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Come on, say it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another translation of that is, in Jesus' name, it is done. Just go ahead and believe it's done in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. You may be seated, just looking around here, seeing who's in church, who's in God's house. Good to see you. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Wonderful. Wonderful. Thanks for being here this morning's service host. If you would come on down. If you did not receive an outline when you came in, I want to encourage you to lift up your hands. We have pens there and the seat backs there in front of you. This is a great moment right now to bum a pen or a pencil off someone. For those of you who are technological, you're following along in our app. That's all right. But let me encourage you not just to listen. If you just listen, the smart people tell us in 72 hours you're going to forget 95% of everything that happened here, okay? But if you'll write it down, the likelihood you're going to remember what the Spirit of God was speaking to you. Whenever He speaks to us, He wants to bless our lives. So there's a method behind us writing down and taking notes when we're in God's house. So we began last week, and I read a quote for you from a Christian author and brilliant thinker that challenged me to the core. And you can disagree with him, you can agree, but I want us to read Richard Rohr again, just as we're beginning. Let's read this quote out loud together. "We must move from a belief-based..." Come on, let's say, everybody, you awake? You doing okay? We're going. Pastor Charlie's already starting. Here we go. Let's read it together. "We must move from a belief-based religion to a practice-based religion," or... Now, just let that sink in. "From a belief-based religion to a practice-based religion." If we're not careful, we can make Christianity about, do you believe these things? And if you believe those things, you're a Christian. If you believe like I believe, then you're in the camp. And Rohr comes along and says we have to shift our thinking from just belief-based to practice-based. We talked about last week, okay, what is one of the cardinal, not beliefs, I think we know beliefs or what you should believe, but what's one of the foundational cardinal practices of authentic Christianity? Well, thank you for asking. One of the authentic foundational practices of Christianity is sharing what we have. This is just elementary school. This is just like elementary Christianity. One of the foundational practices, not beliefs, but a practice, but an authentic Christianity, is sharing what we have, or giving, or generosity. We looked at a bunch of scriptures last week, but I want us to just in beginning move away from the testimony of scripture, and I want to look at the testimony of the historic church, okay? So now we're going to move away from the first century, and let's look at some actual writings of Christ followers and actually some people who were against Christianity, okay? And see if we cannot discover some of the foundational practices, not beliefs, but what were they doing? What were Christians doing? So let's go to 140 AD. There's a man by the name of a philosopher by the name of Justin Martyr who's writing Emperor Antoninus. And he's describing Christianity, believers, to this emperor, this pagan emperor. And let's just go ahead and read what he says and see if we can discover some practices of Christianity. He says, we formerly rejoiced in uncleanness of life. That's how we used to live. But now we love, what? Hang with me here. Now we love chastity. Before we used the magic arts, but now dedicate ourselves to the true and unbegotten God. Now read this next phrase with me if you would. Before we loved money and possessions more than anything, but now we share what we have, and to everyone, I'm just so you know, the first service is half your size. They were louder when they were reading. Just seriously. Can we go back to that quote again? Can we go back one? I want to read this. Let's read this all out loud. Before we loved money and possessions more than anything, but now we share what we have, and to everyone who is in need. Okay, let's keep going with that. Before, we hated one another and killed one another and would not eat with those who were of another race. Think about that. This is just the early beginnings here. The Christian movement, very, very small, but it was beginning to move. But now, since the manifestation of Christ, we have come to a common life and pray for our enemies and try to win over those who hate us. According to Justin Martyr here, his testimony was that before we came to Christ, we used to love money and possessions more than anything else. But now, there's been a change. Now we share what we have. This isn't just the Bible, but now it's like in the practice of the early followers. Now let's fast forward here. Now to about 250 AD in the Roman Empire. In the Roman city itself, now Christians are even there. They're not just in Palestine. Now this Christian movement, and it's in Roman city, and they're caring for the poor and the hungry there. In a large part, the Christians are. And the emperor at that time, Emperor Julian, the apostate, I'm sorry, let me make sure I have the right emperor. Yes, Julian the apostate, is worried that this Christian movement is just spreading, and he wants a revival in the ancient Roman religion, paganism, and all their gods. And he gives us a clue. So he's against Christianity. But he gives us a clue in his writings to why he thought Christianity was spreading. That's why it's such an important document. This is what he says. I want us to consider. He says, Christianity has been specially advanced through what? Through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their care of the burial of the dead. Now, for those that historically, the Romans wouldn't have cared that much about bodies, especially the bodies of the deceased. But Christians came along and they believed that the bodies were special. even bodies of people who died, because we were created in what? In the image and the likeness of God. Even how they care for the dead. Now listen to what he says here. Let's keep reading. It is a scandal that the Christians care not only for their own poor, but for ours. He's no friend. He's an enemy of Christianity. But he's like, seriously? They're not just taking care of their poor. They're feeding our poor. No wonder it's spreading everywhere. Now, let's keep going. While those who belong to us look in vain for the help, we should render them. Just early on, and folks, we could just keep going throughout our legacy and throughout the Christian church's history, but let's fast forward all the way to modern period. I was thinking of Mother Teresa and her mission of charity to the poor and the dying in Calcutta. And I read that she never tried to convert. Now, hang with me here. She never tried to convert a Muslim or a Hindu to Catholicism. In fact, she told her sisters, the sisters that were working with her, she told them explicitly, do not talk about Jesus, don't even promote Jesus, but be Jesus. I want you to hear that again. Our job, your job, is not to try to convert everybody, argue your belief against their belief. Your job is not to talk about Jesus, not to even promote Jesus, but try your best to be him. To be him. Now it's getting it's getting a little warmer in here. What's happening? I thought this was just a nice little church service. What's happening? Pastor, I prefer just to have my Christianity about believing certain things. That way it doesn't require me to do anything. Now, hold on. Stay with me here. And that's where we are, where Richard Rohr says, is our Christianity just belief-based or is it practice-based? Here's my concern, if you're tracking with me, is we have a robust faith. I mean, it lasts the centuries. Technologies come, scientific discoveries come, but the basic foundational principles of Christianity are solid. They're titanium. They're just going to last. Logical, rational, makes sense. So we have these beliefs. Let's just talk about the God revealing himself in his son, Jesus. The creating of the world. The resurrection of Christ. The reliability and trustworthiness of the scriptures revealing to us the will of God. We could go on. These are wonderful beliefs we have. And I want us to stop for a second and just think, what good are they? If we just have these beliefs. James. Now we're going to go back to scripture. James has a letter, has a book named after him. James, the brother of Jesus, actually addressed this issue. And he said that if we just have faith, if we just have beliefs, but we don't have the corresponding actions, that faith or that Christianity is dead. Now, you can disagree with him, but he went a step further and he said, in fact, and James saw this, he witnessed this himself. He said, in fact, demons believe. He said, I witnessed the fact that whenever Jesus walked around, if he came to a person who was possessed with a demon, that demon would fall down before Jesus and say, what have we to do with you, the Son of the living God? So James said, even demons believe. And you say you believe, but if you say you believe and don't have works and that faith, let's look at it. Let's look at what James 2:14. Just reason with him, okay? Here we go. This is James. What good is it? Read with me, if you will. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that? I want to stop right there. I want you to think about this. This is not just some, la la la. I want you to really think. as if Jesus just came so we could have correct belief systems. Can that faith save him? The kind of faith that has correct belief systems but no works. Come on, let's keep going. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, God bless you, the best is yet to come, what has always been doesn't have to always be, this hard time will pass, woo-doo, hang in there, but you say all these nice things, but you don't, warn and fill, without giving them the things needed for the body. Now, some of us, just hang with me here. It's difficult to hear, but just some of our faith and our Christianity is the what good is that faith in Christianity. Let's keep going. So also, James, this is James. Faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead. Now, you know that. Just think through. If you just have your body, but nothing's animating your body, the spirit giving life to your body's just going to collapse, fall to the ground. So also, faith, apart from works. Okay, this is critical. Don't move the next step. We're moving here. Okay, so if works are that important, let's go back. What is one of the foundational practices or works of, I've already given it to you at the very beginning. We unpacked it last week. What's one of the foundational works? It has to be there. We said was sharing what we have. So according to James, let's answer this question. How do we know if our faith is alive? How do we know our faith is real? The Christianity, all the beliefs that we say, how do we know that that's real and not just a farce? Well, we examine our what? According to James, we examine our works. We examine our actions. And if one of the main actions of an authentic Christian is sharing our resources, then in particular, we have to stop and we examine our giving. Now, I want everyone just to relax. Like, talking about giving. No one's going to twist your arm. I'm not emotionally going to build this up and then try to get your money. I'm just reasoning with you, teaching the scriptures. And you're going to have to be responsible for God and the Holy Spirit about how you have conducted your life. Now, here's a fear of mine. Is that a lot of us, our Christianity or our faith is what James said. It's dead. We're going to pass the test on the right stuff to believe. Check, 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 check. Oh, that's wonderful. But what are you doing? And one of the basic, fundamental things that we do is we share and we give of our resources. So how could you say such a thing, Pastor? I'm not sure. Well, this is where this is coming from. I want to read the first sentence of an NBC News article, just the first sentence. And by the way, this has been covered by well-worn territory here, a lot of news. But this is the first sentence. It says, Loudoun County, Virginia is one of the wealthiest counties in the nation. But it's, if it's up there, you can read it with me, but its charitable giving is well below average. And it's what? In the entire DMV area, in the entire area, it's the smallest. Now, I got to be honest. Let me just be honest. When I was reading articles like this, in my mind, because I'm like to pride myself, you know, I'm a critical thinker, I'm like, that's not real. That's not true. That's not me. That's... How'd they come up with that data? I'm sure there's something off here. You know, we're I just want us to think just for a moment. What is the evidence? If James were here, I know we wouldn't want James to be our pastor, but if James were here, if he said to each one of us, he just stopped and we had time, and each family and each individual, each single, each person, he said, I don't want you to tell me what you believe. I want you to show me your faith by your charity. Remember that word from last week? By how you share your resources. Show it to me. Don't tell me. And we'd have to pull out our apps, right? Because everything's modern, or some of us still have our old checkbooks, and we would look and begin to show evidence of our faith. Now, Christians are much different. They're supposed to be. We are. We just don't believe things. We do things. Christ is our example, right? So, but in the world at large, the average, this isn't just Christians, this is just everybody, even people who aren't Christians, the national average of sharing resources or charitable giving is 3% in America, United States. Now, you would say, well, Christians are much, much, well, obviously, we'd be much more than that. We don't share just 3%, but the national average is 3%. In Loudoun County, it's just hovering at 1.9% of sharing of our resources to others. So, in your notes, I want to drill down right here on this question. Why aren't we more charitable? Now, let me just confess right now, for the sake of time, how many know there's like 15 reasons? I got both my hands up. We're only going to talk about three, mainly the ones I feel that apply to us. We're in God's house. I think many of us admire Jesus, admire Christianity, but the ones that apply to us. I know we could say, start off right off the bat with what we dealt with last week. I don't give charity because I don't have anything. Remember, we unpacked that last week about how it's not the amount. Everybody has something they can share. Even if it's the smallest thing, like the poor widow in Scripture who shared her two pennies, and Jesus smiled at her and said, wow, she's given more than anyone else. So I know we could go through a lot of lists, but let's just look at maybe three reasons why we are not more charitable. Now, when I use that word charitable, that means giving, sharing of my financial resources with others. Let's just begin. Maybe the first reason is because we've become jaded. What do you mean by jaded, Pastor? I mean by we become cynical. We look at church, religions, charities, or whatever's like happening now, you're looking at through with the eyes of suspicion. Even right now, you're like, he's got a TV on the screen. Where's his collar, or where's his suit and tie? What's happening here? Lights are, you know, is this real? Everything is seen through the eyes of doubt. And why? Maybe for some good reasons, because you grew up in the era of the TV evangelist, who's like on television, he's fleecing the flock, and especially like the elderly people are sitting there, you know, they're stuck at home and they're watching. You just send $100 in right now, and your life is going to be blessed. And so, then they were investigated, they were found out to be a fraud, and the media picked it up and showed it everywhere. And so everything you view now is with cynicism. And doubt, and a charlatan was exposed. Listen to me. There will always be fakes, frauds, charlatans, this and that. But let me just encourage you. Don't allow the fall of someone else to cause you to turn inward and to allow your heart to be hardened and to close your hands of generosity toward others. You might say it like this: don't allow the fall of someone else to cause you to fall. I mean, yes, everything I said was true. There's been this guy, there's been that person, there's been that person, but when it's all said and done, what about you? What about me? How am I going to respond to the call of Christianity? I was thinking, man, I'm so proud, and I have to say it unashamedly, I'm so proud of our church and what we get to do, not individually. We can never do this individually with you giving your little gift to this place that you choose. You give your little gift over here, but when we pull all our resources together, it's a mountain of good works that we get to do. I was thinking just last year, our church, we pulled all our resources together in giving, that we were able to prevent over 600 evictions and utility cutoffs in Loudoun County through our partnership with Loudoun Cares. That's real. Do you know that just we have two kids that are in college right now? They're the first kids in their family to ever go to college. How'd that happen? Through the sharing of resources in the family of God. Do you know that last year we helped over 30 abused women and children find a safe shelter, support, free legal counseling? Do you know that last year over 600 kids in the second poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, they have nothing. They have nothing. And 600 of them are being fed and educated in a little orphanage in Honduras. And we literally, we could go, do you know that hundreds of people every single week right here in Loudoun County can come to community church and who are under-resourced and they get help with food assistance in our Messiah's Market program? Literally, we could go on and on and on. And I just, Pastor Charlie, why are you saying that? I'm saying it because if you've been here any time at all, not if you're a visitor, thank you, glad you're here, glad you're visiting, but if you've been here any time at all and you've still got your arms crossed and you're still wondering and you're still kind of suspicious and cold and you're distrusting, for God's sakes, I pray, and this is the only way it's going to happen, I pray that the Holy Spirit opened your eyes and softened your heart again. Because maybe you've allowed cynicism, something you saw or a bad experience or someone's failure to close up your heart to those in need. Here's the most telling thing. If you're that person, you never say it, but you're always looking with suspicion. It's caused you to clam up and become not open-handed, not generous, but suspicious. Here's the killer thing, is I just want to say to you, you're not seeing things as they actually are. You're seeing things the way you are. I mean, just think about it. We have to be so careful. I'm being honest. We have to be so careful because there can be so many good things, literally modern day miracles happening all around us. And if we're not careful, we can sit there with our arms crossed just like Judas with a judgmental and critical spirit looking at Jesus and his disciples saying, why don't they do this? Why aren't they doing that? Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? Instead of being a part of the solution. So we have to examine our hearts. Lord, what has happened to me? Am I still believing? Listen, there are good things. There are tremendously good things happening all around. Second thought. What might be stopping up our charity is maybe it's because we live in a bubble. The only problem is that this is not a bubble. So I'm going to pop the bubble. But Loudoun County, we live here. You know what it's like? It's like I was trying to think. It's like the Truman Show. You know what I'm talking about? It's like in this. It's like a movie set, but it's ginormous. Like 50 square miles. It's like that big. We wake up, we go to work, drive in our car. Oh, pass by Wegmans. Pass by another Wegmans. pass by, you know, Giants and every Harris Teeters and all the shop, Starbucks here, Starbucks, all the grasses, all the lawns are cut, they're green, they have their nice little houses near, and you go to work, and then I go over to the pastry shop, then I get in the car, and I'm passing all the green grass, and the sun's shining, and I wave at people, hey, and they wave back, hey, good morning, how are you? And but something's not real. There's something not real about this. This is, now, you can disagree with her, but I want to read a quote to you from Amy Owens. She's the executive director of the Community Foundation, listen, that was launched to address this issue of such low charitable giving in Loudoun County. I was scratching my head. Don't read it yet. I was scratching my head because I'm like, the world is trying to address this. They're not afraid to talk about it. And yet we come into church and we're like, tiptoe around. Will you please give some money for, seriously? This is one of our core practices. It's our heritage and it's our legacy that we share with those who are less. We give. That's what we do. Anyways, they're addressing this issue. And I'm sorry, you can put it back up there now. And Amy Owen said, I think I have a reason why there's such low giving. She said, read it with me if you would. It's been well documented that American citizens who do not regularly come into immediate contact with need. Did you stop right there? Did you get it? If you don't, you're not coming into contact with it, it's the Truman Show. It's everything's nice. She says that describes Loudoun County to a T. Loudoun needs. I read that. I was thinking of Thursday and Thanksgiving. We went over to Mom and Dad's house. And when you get our entire family together, we're not Italians, but it's like Italian, times like 10. I think there were like 30 people there, but we lose count because grandkids are running around. They're missing, for hours and come back. But anyway, just pandemonium. And Jill and I got there with all the kids, and Mom and Dad had asked this lady to come and help. They were hosting so many people and just cleaning and dishes and preparing. And so we get there, and this lady's helping, and see her and talk to her, and we get at this table, guys. It's like a mom has prepared this table, and it's like a movie, like a feast for days, for like a king, an emperor would show up, and I'm serious, like a huge turkey. And then we had another table just to hold some more food because it couldn't fit all on the one table. So we set up another table, just food and desserts. And then there was another table because we all can't fit on one table. Now there's a table for the kids, and then there's another table for the other smaller kids, and then there's even a really, really small table for the really small kids that the dogs just eat all their food anyway when they come over. And so everyone's just talking, just blessed, I'll be honest with you. And, the Christmas music's playing in the background, and so the day kind of winds on, and before we leave, this lady hands me a note, and I take it, and I say, well, thank you. And I open it up, it says, Dear Pastor Charlie, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to help you today. First of all, I didn't know I asked her to come, but anyway, she was there and handed me this note. It says, please keep me in your prayers as I'm still looking for a job. This past year has been a struggle financially, but I trust God will provide a job for me. She goes on here. And I looked and here we are. And listen. In the middle of abundance. No, I'm not talking about just a little bit of leftovers. I'm talking about weeks of leftovers, just abundance. Here was a dear lady who's just, listen, these are our neighbors. This is the person sitting next to you, behind me. This is the person you see in Giant. These are real people. You know, I'm so glad you're in God's house, because one of the main things we get to do is we come together. We not only get to pray, wonderful pray, we sing, we hear nice teachings, and we're encouraged and we're reminded of the things, and that's all wonderful. But also one of the main things we do is we get to come together and not bury our head in the sand and pretend like everything's okay. When we come together, we're reminded and we're confronted with real problems. The church, the army of God, the army of love, the love of God, we get to come together instead of pretending like everything, it's a bubble out there. We come together and we actually talk about real challenges in our community and we offer real solutions. How is that? By pulling our resources together. I was thinking just last year again, the Loudoun County came out with a report that one of the causes of a vicious cycle of keeping people from reaching the next level economically in our county is the fact that we don't have affordable child care, because it takes two incomes, moms and dads, to reach the next level in Loudoun County, right? So here's a family, but they can't afford child care, so one of them stays home, and they still only have one income, and they're just stuck there. I can never break through the next level. Well, instead of just going through life and pretending like there's no problems around, we stop, we come to God's house, we talked about it, and we, you know what we did? We were able to call Loudoun County and say, you know those families, you got about 200 on your list. We have a very generous church. We share our resources. We'll be able to pay for several of those families to come to our child care, to come to Triple C Ranch Day Camp during the summer. Maybe we can help four or five families get out of this vicious cycle, and they can reach a new level in Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Maybe, lastly, maybe if we're honest, the reason why we're not more charitable is, if we're honest, I know we'd probably never say this, but maybe we just don't care that much. I got mine. No one helped me out. I did this on my own. Which we already have problems right there, but it's not, that was last week's message. Because when we give, we're always acknowledging grace. And grace says, I didn't get here by myself. Look what the Apostle Paul said. This is 2 Corinthians 8. This is where he said it. I am not commanding you. I love this. Come on, read this with me if you would. I'm not commanding you to give. Now, I want you to hear right now, Pastor Charlie's in. If they ask me to give money to good causes, I'm so offended. No. No one's commanding you. No one's commanding you to give. But look what the apostle says. This is to the Corinthian church. By the way, they were collecting an offering. This is what Christians do. This is what we do. It's going to be tough to call yourself a Christian. This is not what we do. He says, I'm not commanding you to give, but, come on, read it with me. I want to see if you're... Is this thing that you say you believe, is this true? When you say you love other people who are less fortunate to you, is it true? When you say you love the cause of God and His program, come on, is it true? Or do we just say it? Look at the New Living Translation. Same verse. Read it with me. I am not commanding you to do this, but I love this translation here. It says, but I'm testing how genuine. Okay, here it is. Here it is. So giving, when we examine our giving statement, our end of the year statement, whatever that looks like for you, when we examine our giving, giving is a great revealer. There's that word. Giving is a revealer of our love, of the genuineness of our love. Come on, reason with me. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to put it together. It's a revealer of the genuineness of our love, love of God and love of other people. So let's take it a next step. Let's take it just a step further. So when we examine and we measure and we track our giving, you got to get this. It's a holy act of worship. It's how I worship you, God. Sitting down with the kids just the other day, Jill and I, and we measure anything that's important to us, has value. Oh goodness, I've run out of time. Let me say it like this: if our giving, let's just in this church, it's a white bucket or giving kiosk apps, whatever, however it is. If our giving is just like, whatever, just reach down in my pocket. By the way, the church, let me just be honest, I'm just being real. We'll take it, and we're going to use it for good. It's going to be used for good. If you're new with us, just hanging around here longer, you're going to see good things, fruit from it. But if our giving is just like the whatever, no big deal, just whatever's in my pocket, just nonchalant. Let me just suggest something to you. If that's the attitude, then it's a sign that your walk with God is also a whatever, nonchalant, just take it or leave it, walk with Him. If it's no big deal to you, it's not going to be a big deal to God. Now, in closing, I want to go to one more passage of Scripture. Paul's talking about giving. He's talking about charity. He says, remember this. Of all the things I've said, remember this. Some of you appreciate this because we'll move on to a different subject next week, entering our Advent and Christmas season. But remember this. Read with me if you would. Whoever sows sparingly. Now just hold on real quick. We're not talking about farming. Just making sure. This is all in the context of giving, sharing. Whoever sows sparingly, come on, read with me, also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is the way Christians give. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. This word decided, it comes from a Greek word, a combination of a Greek word that means what you have thought of beforehand. It's intent. It's not the nonchalant whatever I just know. No, it looks like this. Let me sit down with the books. This is how much I'm making. This is how much. Lord, I want to give this percent. It's predetermined. It's like with thought. It means something to you. I've thought about it. So as each one has thought about it, give. And he goes on to say, not how? Or what? No way. I look at it as a grace. Lord, I get to help and be a part of your program. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. And then he goes on. Now, I love this. It would be something if it stopped there. God loves a cheerful giver. But then the scripture goes on to say, read it with me, and God is able to bless you. I want to stop there. Do you believe that? Come on, read it with me again. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Here's the conclusion. Three questions there in your notes. I'm going to wrap this little mini series up. Three questions I want to ask you. Number one, I want you to talk about this with your spouse. If you're not married, talk about it with your girlfriend, boyfriend. Talk about it. If you're single, talk about it with friends. Talk about it with someone. These three questions. You ready? What percent of my income is going to charity? Pastor Charlie, I've never thought about it. What are you talking about? You want me to think about it? Yes. Why would you? Because it's a holy act of worship. It's the very primary step of a Christian. We're not just believing things. So what is it? Think about that. What is it? Second question. What does this reveal about me? Now, you're going to have to search your heart here and be honest, because our giving is a revealer of the genuineness of what we say we believe. So just sit with that and think about, Lord, what does this reveal about me? Third question. Going forward, starting today, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Now, you'll see there's a website there in your notes. We talked about it last week. We are entering right now for our church the season of the big give. What's the big give? The big give is us bringing our first present, first best present to God in His house. And we're going to take everything that's given into the big give and send it to those who are in need. So there's special envelopes, there's special in the giving kiosk, there's online giving. You can click on the big give and you can see all of the programs that we're going to be. There's kids that are going to be helped, there's kids that are going to be helped, families help with Christmas, there's the orphanage, the loud and abused women, all kind of stuff. So it's on. We're going to be collecting these the next 3 weeks. And then we'll send them out just before Christmas as a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I first thank you that you set the example and you've handed it on to us of generosity and sharing and giving. And Lord, I just simply pray as the pastor of this church that this family, this church family, that this would be our best year yet in giving, in sending help, in sharing our resources, Lord, with those who are in need. And Lord, I thank you that as families and individuals in this church respond, as you speak to them, as they participate, as they pray, Lord, what's my part going to be in this special offering? Lord, I pray that you're going to bless them and God is able to bless you abundantly. Lord, may that be true in their lives. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name, all of us said, amen. Amen. God bless you.